for we alone cannot do what we needed to do. Thank you for the price that was paid, that we may come to know you, that Christ, scorning the shame of the cross, put it all aside, the punishment, the pain, the suffering, the embarrassment, all of that, so that he could meet the price for us, so that we can come to know you and sing these songs and praise you and glorify you and not be fearful of your presence, but be able to stand in awe of your glory, and that we may enjoy that forever and ever. Amen.
Children may dismiss to Children's Church, Junior Church. I also was intrigued by the offertory song. I haven't heard that for a while, especially that last verse. I was intrigued by that. Oh, that was good. I appreciate that. I appreciate music ministry here at Grace. Trust you do too. What is a PR man? Well, it's a public relations man. Every once in a while, catch the news. I try not to do that too regularly because it sort of upsets me, but we have a PR man come on the scene. He's a spokesman for the president, and he comes in front, and he has a certain job, and the reporters gather, and they begin to ask questions of this. And he's a PR man. He's a public relations man. And I don't know how long they've had them, probably for 50 years or more, but his job is to answer any questions and make the president what? Look good. Make the president look good. Sometimes he accomplishes his purpose, sometimes he doesn't. But Satan also has a PR man. His job is to promote, here it is. His job is to promote the agenda and the aggrandizement of the one who's in charge. Now, if we're on the planet here, the job of the PR man is to make the guy that he's working for look good, which sometimes is a challenge, and we understand that. Now, the job of the PR man for Satan, and again, folks, there are a lot of folks who would just automatically turn me off. They would say, "You're talking about Satan. I don't even believe in Satan." And there are folks like that. The tragedy is that someday they will discover the truth. And so I'm talking to you this morning. This is the Word of God, and that's our only basis for truth, the Word of God. And so let's go ahead and see if we can make this work. There we go. Then I saw another beast. We're in chapter number 13, verse number 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, if you remember from last week, beast number one came from the sea, okay? We described him last week. Beast number two now comes out of the sea, or out of, the first one came out of the sea, and the next one comes out of the land. And so let me go ahead and start again. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast, this guy right here, in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Again, we looked at this last week, and I remind you, this is apocalyptic literature. And so when John writes on the Isle of Patmos in about 90 AD, he is writing, he is having a vision, he is looking at what heaven is, and all of these things that he sees, they are symbolic of something. It is our job to try to figure out what, and using the Old Testament, obviously he can mean by what he's saying. What does he mean by what he's saying? And again, my goal is here this morning. My goal is if John the Apostle were sitting in the front seat, when I am done with the message, he would say, "Good job, Frank. You got it about halfway right." If I'm halfway, I'm doing pretty good, okay? Better than a lot of... No, I want better than that. I want John to say, "That was very good. That was very good." And that's my goal, okay? And so this morning, let's continue to read. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Men see this. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. There he is, right up there in the corner. That's the guy we're talking about this morning. That is Satan's PR man. Now, what do we have next? He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. This is called forced worship. You worship or you die. Now, I'm glad we don't have any of that across our globe today. Hey, folks, we have seen this. You either worship my God or you die. And there are people, even this morning as we're speaking, I imagine there are folks right now that are being given that question. Out of 7.2 billion people, there is at least one person who has been given that question within the last few minutes. You either worship you-know-who or you die. They make that decision. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no one, and he's included everybody, no one may buy or sell except, you can't do any economic trading, nothing's happening. You cannot buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate, figure this out, the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is what? Go ahead. 666. How many have ever heard that number 666 before? Okay, folks, almost everybody in the culture, even unbelievers, oh yeah, that's the number of the devil. And they say that. Now, whether it is or not, I don't know, but it's the number of this guy right up here. He's got a number. Let's look at it this morning. Mankind has a propensity to embrace deception. Folks, you and I, from the time we were 2 years old, you and I can be tricked. How many were ever tricked as a two-year-old? I was. So, let me see. I don't see any vulnerable people here. Now, hopefully, if you're sitting next to somebody and they get this shocked look on their face, please reach over, comfort them. But most of us were told that there was a, go ahead, Santa Claus. How did you know that? Was that true? Answer, no. But you know what? Some of you parents deceived your little children, and you got up late at night, and you put all those packages down, and you deceived your little children. And guess what? They believed it for a long time. Now, not that we're wonderful parents, but we didn't let that slide in our house. Hey, guys, I paid for the presents. Grandma and Grandpa paid for the presents most of the time when we were in school. I mean, that's the long and short of it. Folks, I'm not going to give credit to some fat old guy in a red suit, okay? And so here we are. We are prone, and a lot of you went a little bit further and around April or March, and you told your kids there was an Easter bunny. You're deceitful. Yeah, but we didn't mean any harm. And folks, we don't, okay? And I'm not riding your case or anything like that. But we are easily deceived. In our culture, we are easily deceived. Everything's going fine in Germany. He'll take care of things. Everything's going fine here. We are easily deceived. And most of us sitting right now, we are the product. Some of us have been deceived even this morning. And it's a regular habitual thing on planet Earth. That's the way we are. Mankind has a propensity to embrace deceptions. The outward appearance of Satan's public relations man may be deceptive. And I put maybe, just because there is a possibility I could be wrong. But I could have put is deceptive. I mean, the way this guy looks, he is employed to direct wanderers onto the path of destruction. We are incredibly vulnerable and gullible. We are. He is described as another beast, another of the same kind, with the same nature as the first. They have the same idea. They have the same nature. They are both animalistic, savage, brutal, undomesticated. Wild. These guys are wild men inside, but they don't look that way on the outside. He, unlike the first beast, arises out of the earth. If the sea indicates a Gentile, and I think it does, the land may indicate this man is a Jewish man. Again, I don't know, okay? I put may down. And there are a lot of people who will say, well, this is the way it is. Folks, I am not that way. If I know something, I drive a nail. If I don't, I just put a little stone there, and it can be moved. Some of these things, I could be off, and I don't know. But as far as I understand, what I'm telling you is the truth. It's probably a Gentile. The land indicates he's Jewish. He appears like a lamb. He is gentle, harmless, and likable. And there are people like that. You meet them, and they're very nice. They're kind. You'd want them for your neighbor. And I have met some people like that, and you have met people like that. But once you get to know them, all you have to do is push the wrong button. Okay? How many have ever found somebody you thought they were likable, and then you push the wrong button? I can't pick her out, but I know I've gotten bit before. I know I've gotten bit before. I know I've gotten burned before. And there are people like that. Two horns may indicate that he is a political and religious figure. Religion is the devil's anesthetic. Now, who was it that said religion is the of the people? What is it? Opiate. What does it mean? It deadens their senses. Listen, religion deadens the senses of people. There are people who will come into churches week after week after week, and they will be told, do the best you can, do the best you can. You're a wonderful person. You stand as good a chance as anybody of getting into heaven. And guess what? They do. You know what chance we stand? Zip, zero, none, nil, nothing. Apart from Christ, you're lost. And so there are people who have a religion, and they're nice people. You wouldn't mind them for their neighbors. But folks, they're lost. And so a religion is the devil's anesthetic. It deadens the pain of life because you go through a certain religion or ritual. He speaks like a dragon. His words bring about death and destruction through deception. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, now catch the next few words, the God of this age has blinded who do not believe. Who is the God of this age? Answer. Satan is. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make it up. It's there. You can read it in your own Bible. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Here's another one. Paul says this, but I am scared to death, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And again, is the devil and are his cronies active on planet Earth? Yes, they are. Now, do I worry about the devil? No, I do not. You don't? No, I don't. You know what? The closer I stay to the shepherd, the less I have to worry about the wolf. And folks, your best bet is this. You stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ, you stay close to the Son of God, and you will not have to worry that much about Satan. You get captivated, you get into all this stuff and studying Satan, you know, you're shooting yourself in the foot. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, hey, it's not a big deal. It is no great thing if his ministers, his servants, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness whose end will be according to their works. Again, I don't want to be mean or negative. I want to be truthful. There are men who claim to represent God, but they do not. They do not believe the Bible. They tell nice little stories. They make people feel good about themselves. But you know what? Again, you just read it with me. You followed along. Satan has those who are working for him who are ministers of righteousness. He doesn't mind as long as he can deceive you. He will give you candy. He will give you this as long as you follow him. He will dress up as a clown to lure you into the woods. How many saw that? Yeah, Satan does that. You know what? People are so easily deceived. His authority and power do not derive from himself. God himself permits the dragon, Satan, to exercise authority and power. Satan is a big dog with a long leash. God's got him under control. And the last verse of that song this morning, when the two names were mentioned, I thought, oh my, I rolled my eyes. I thought, oh man. You know what? God is still in control. Okay, he is still in control. Do you like the political situation? Not so much. But you know what? God knows what he's doing. And he will put in place whom he desires. You may not like it. I may not like it. But he'll put somebody there that he desires to perform, to accomplish his purposes. The dragon empowers the first beast to do his bidding. The first beast gives power and authority to the second beast, who is totally committed to his agenda and aggrandizement. Here's how it works. In 2B, we saw dragon giving power to this person here. And now this power just passes that, or this person passes that power onto the next one. And it is possible. It is done. His accomplishments are nothing short of miraculous. He performs mega miracles in plain sight of his audience, just like the prophets of old. Man, this guy can call fire down from heaven, just like Elijah, and just like who else? His protege, Elisha. He can do this. He's amazing. He is like Elijah, who's coming to announce the Messiah was foretold in Malachi 4:5. He is here. This is him. Now, folks, if you check out Malachi, Malachi says that there is a forerunner coming who will announce the Messiah. And so what the PR man does, says, here is your Messiah. He can call fire down from heaven, and he's not limited to just calling fire down, and it's like people are standing there with their mouths hanging open saying, this guy's amazing. And then the PR man will say, this is the Messiah. Look at your own scriptures. Look at the scriptures. He can do miracles. He can do amazing things. This is your Messiah. Are people actually going to fall for that? Answer, yes. They'll fall for it, and it'll be amazing. His deception is so convincing that earth dwellers create an image to worship him. They set up a statue, and they worship him through the statue. This seems to be referred to by Jesus in Matthew. We'll look at these scriptures in a moment. Paul also spoke of the deception. The performance of miracles is not proof that the one doing them is from God. Now, folks, you ought to write that down, because there are a lot of folks who go to other countries and say they perform miracles. There have been reports raising the dead, of curing this, curing this, curing this. Is a miracle guarantee that the miracle was from God? Answer, no. Satan can do miracles. He is so deceptive. I enjoy watching David Copperfield sometimes during the year and other magicians. They're amazing. And some of them are sleight of hand. I do a little magic on my own. It's pathetic compared to anything like that. But whatever. I haven't done that for a long time in Iwana. But the kids, I remember, can I tell you this? I did it all. This has to be 25 years ago. I'm in VBS, and there's a girl. You remind me of her, Dolly. Not that you're ditzy or anything, okay? I'm not saying that, okay? But she was sitting about there, Tabitha, whatever it was. Anyway, she was sitting there, and I did a, quote, magic trick. And she was like, ah! And I almost started laughing right in the middle of the thing, because she didn't catch it at all. It was amazing. And she was 17, 18 years old. And she was just like, oh, how did you do that? I love that. I love that. Guess what? People are easily deceived. They don't see it coming. Let's read a couple scriptures together. Now, remember Daniel? Here it is. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. If anyone says to you, Jesus is speaking, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible. Ah, I like that. Even the elect. You see, it is not possible to deceive the elect in this sense. See, I told you guys, I have told you beforehand. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, putting himself off as, I am God. And guess who is going to do his promotion? His PR man. He is God. We've set up an image. You need to worship. We do not need another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. Send us such a man, and be he God or devil, we will receive him. That is a sobering statement from Paul Henry Spaak, first president of the European Parliament. That is some, and that's a statement made. Man, if I were there, I'd sit there and go, oh my word, what? That's like, how can you say that? You know what? It is true. It is true. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What is the will of the Father? That you believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow up. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? We've done this for you, Lord. We did it in your name. And then I would declare to them, sorry, guys, no clue who you are. I never knew you. You never had a personal relationship with me. Wow, amazing. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He causes breath in the image and demands on the threat of death that all honor this image or symbol. You will fall down. You will worship. Now, what does that mean? You will acknowledge, these people will acknowledge that he is God, that he is Messiah, that he has come from God, that he is the one that we've looked for this long. People will do that. Deception depends on preconditioning. A funny story is called a what? A joke. I don't like Pepsi, I like Coke. I fell asleep, then I awoke. The white of an egg is called a? I see. You, how many fell for it? So did I. It's like, how did you do that? Now, some of you, would you turn to the person next to you and see if they're still confused? What's he laughing about? Folks, I tell you what. Deception depends on preconditioning. You got to get people to trust you. You got to get them into a pattern. And then, folks, you can spring. You folks are intelligent. You folks are intelligent. But you know what? Even you fell for that one. And I'm thankful. Even now, people are being preconditioned. So when the deception, even my administrative assistant, I can't believe you did it. Anyways, let's move on. Even now, people are being preconditioned. So when the deception occurs, they'll have no trouble believing it. Let me get back here. Our present-day media is helping to precondition us for deception. Now, that's a rabbit mail about 10 miles long that if I got onto it, we'd never get back to the main trail. But folks, our culture is preconditioning us for deception. We believe almost anything. I tell you what, Pastor Jim showed an excellent DVD during the men's hour in here. What I want to do is I want to get that. I want to listen to it about 6 or 8 times. Because it was so good. And folks, that I amazing. People are so easily deceived. Here's some of the deceptions, just in case you don't know any. Evolution. Deception. Oh, we prove it. There's so much. You know what? There's not a lick of proof to prove evolution. Man has been preconditioned to believe the lie. There is no hell. Everybody's going to eventually get to heaven. God would never send anybody to hell. No, they choose to go there by rejecting Christ, the only payment for their sin. And folks, there are numerous deceptions. I won't go ahead. I could probably another rabbit trail that we could get onto. We won't. The faithful flock is fleeced regularly at places where images of the Virgin Mary supposedly shed tears. They proclaim it a miracle, and thousands, even millions, wonder and worship. It is no great transition, nor is it inconceivable, when an image begins to breathe and speak. Satan is a master deceiver. And that's the one that just came to my head right away. It's like, man, this is, for some people, it happened. It's real. Mankind has a predisposition for self-preservation. Job 2:4, skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give for his what? Life. So, and what Satan said this, okay, this is a quote from his lips, if he has lips. He said this. You know what? You put a gun to a person's head and they'll do anything. That is not true. That is not true. But that's what he said. This tyrant will somehow force people to voluntarily. Now, how do you do that? Force people to voluntarily receive some kind of mark on their person. There must be some sort of crisis or crises, either man-made or natural disaster, in order to convince mankind that this solution is necessary. Folks, here's how it works. You create a crisis, and then you posit a solution. And then people say, that's a good thing. We all have to agree on it. And then you carry it out, and you end up controlling the people. Well, we need to do this. It will appeal to everyone. What might the expediency entail? All agree it takes a crisis. Now, I want you to follow this. Now, this is not a trick, okay? Earthquake and flood victims must be reached before they expire. And everybody says, well, yeah, that's a good idea. Escaped convicts must be located and captured before they kill someone else. Illegal, dangerous refugees must be located and evicted. Abducted or endangered children must be found. Identity theft and credit card fraud must be stopped. Wandering senior citizens must be rescued. Oh, yeah. I smiled when I saw that one. Aliens have landed and we don't know who's who. Seriously. Are there extraterrestrials? Does our culture promote that? Answer, yeah. In my opinion, I think they are demonic. Okay, that's just my opinion. Okay, but that's serious. Pedophiles and paroled criminals need to be monitored. Medical records are needed for a comatose patient. Corpses are discovered in mass graves. Who are they? Are all those crisis situations? Answer, yes. People want answers. How are we going to do this? At every one of the above instances, an identification chip placed at birth, if possible, in the right hand or the forehead would save lives or solve puzzles if our scanning technology is employed. I'm selling this to you. What might this look like? Technology is amazing. Earthquake and flood victims can be reached before they expire. There's a man under here. By the way, we didn't say much about 911. And we don't observe a moment of silence. But I do hope, how many of you remember where you were on that morning? I was in Hunsinger Hall. Someone called me and said, did you know that the Twin Towers just got hit? And I went home and I sat in front of the TV for hours trying to fathom how in the world this could happen. How many did much the same? Much the same, yeah. It's just inconceivable, unbelievable. Now, again, I'm being facetious. There are multitudes of people who could have been found and whose bodies could have been found. And I'm not selling this. I'm just telling you this will happen. If they had some kind of an ID in their hand or on their forehead, you could have taken a scanner and you could have pinpointed their location, and in a few days' time, we may have been able to save more lives. Is that a good cause? Answer, yes. Yes. And folks, what I'm trying to do is convince you that this will be voted on and this will fly. Escaped convicts can be located and captured before they kill someone else. Good cause, yeah. Illegal and dangerous refugees can be located and evicted under some administrations, okay? And that is political, and I know. Abducted or endangered children can be found. Identity theft and credit card fraud can be stopped. Wandering senior citizens can be rescued. Oh, yeah, I know Ralph. He's out again. Oh, there he is right there. And you can watch them. When I was in cemetery, 1985, that's a long time ago, why are you laughing? Cemetery. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to pull up the name. John Davis. John Davis, in 1985, told us as a class that they have tech, and this is what, 15 and 16, is 31 years ago. He said that they have technology that from there, they can look down and see the head of a nail on a dock. That is amazing. And so when Ralph escapes out of the rest home, you just look on your scanner and say, oh yeah, there he is. He's harmless. He's just over there putzing around in the woods somewhere. We'll pick him up later. We don't have time now. Just keep your eye on him. Folks, is it possible? Oh yeah, and there are a lot more instances. This would be great for airports. This would be great for IDing people. Wandering senior citizens. Aliens have landed and we can identify who's who. Pedophiles and paroled criminals can be monitored. Medical records are instantly available for a comatose patient. Here are the MT. The MTs, EMTs. EMTs come to the scene and there are three bodies there. Two of them are still alive, but they don't know who they are. They scan them and then they read on their smartphone, this is who they are. Don't give it. They're allergic to this. They're allergic to this. This is what you need to do. Boom! In a matter of seconds, this information is right in front of them. Corpses are discovered in mass graves and readily identified. Folks, again, I'm not going to ask you to vote. But you know what? Every one of these looks like a good thing to do. And usually when things are introduced in our culture, they come across as good. And you know what? It doesn't take long till things turn sour. And the one that comes to mind this morning is unions. Unions. At the beginning, unions served the people. And they were out for the people. They were good. Now, not so much, and we won't cover that. Anyone without this identification mark on their right hand or forehead will be criminalized. You have to have it and face economic sanctions. Everyone's whereabouts will be monitored for the good of all. And folks, again, I am not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But I tell you what, this up here is sort of like, wow, this is doable. No, it's not just doable. It will be done. And folks, it is. Now, folks, for those of you and I who know Jesus Christ, I am looking for the day when the Word of God says the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. And folks, if I'm wrong on that, you know what? God's still in control. God's still in control. I don't think I am. Let's move on. Oh, that one again. Send us such a man, and be he God or devil, we will receive him. If he can get us out of this fix. The tyrant's identity is so obscured that it will only be exposed in retrospect. After, and this is my opinion, after he appears on the scene and begins to arouse suspicions, his identity will be revealed. There is a number by which this evil person can be identified. Gematria. I think that's the way you pronounce it. Gematria. You can do this. Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, Hey, Vav, Sin, Heth, Teth, Yod, Kaf, Lamed, Hey, Nun, and all that. It's a Hebrew alphabet. Okay? In the Hebrew culture, they would assign Aleph is here. That's like the A. 1. Beth, 2. Gimel, 3. Daleth, 4. And I did this years ago. I picked my name, and then I picked my wife's name. And I added up the letters and the numbers. Neither of them came out to 666. Whew. And people have done this. And you can do this if you get bored and you like to do this. You can find, if you Google Gematria, you can do this. And people have done it. And no one thus far has figured it out. Satan's strategy has always been to gain control of mankind. He and his cronies do it through deception and creating dependence. If you can create a culture that is dependent on you, you can control them. And folks, it's happening today in the States. It's happening today in the States. The number of the beast down through the centuries has been linked with literally hundreds of different possibilities. Henry Kissinger's one of them. Okay, there's a string of names, hundreds of names. Oh, he's the beast, he's the beast. His numbers add up to, you know, they manipulate the numbers, okay? Instead of calling him Franklin Delano Rice, we call him Frankie Rice. And then that adds up to 666, or we call him, you know, whatever. And they manipulate the numbers so that they add up to 666. You can do that. But you know what? You're not going to find it out. When a person refuses to acknowledge the truth, again, this 666, don't get caught up in this stuff, trying to identify who the Antichrist is. I think it's a waste of time. You can do it if you'd like to. When a person refuses to acknowledge the truth, he or she sets himself or herself up to embrace the lie. And you do. If you don't believe the truth, you will get sucked into a lie. When men and women reject God's truth, God gives them over to their preferred deception. Now, I like the way the author phrases that. This is not original. When they refuse, reject God's truth, God gives them over to their preferred deception and allows them to experience the delusion in all its terrible force. Folks, there are people today who are operating under a deception. Now, listen to how it works. We're almost done, okay? Here's how it works. I want something desperately, or I want to believe something desperately. And so I surround myself with people who will support my delusion. And then I begin to get solid in my delusion. And I begin to get other people to believe my delusion. And pretty soon, I'm pretty satisfied in my delusion. Now, folks, that's the way it works. God allows them to experience the delusion in all its terrible force. When a person chooses the truth, now I have truth capitalized. Why would I do that? Because Jesus said this, I am what? The way, the truth, the life. He either told the truth or he's lying. I'll take him to tell the truth. When a person chooses the truth and abides in him, he or she is kept by the power of God. Each person gets to choose. How many like choices? Okay? I like choices. And I do prefer Coke over Pepsi. Okay, just a short ad. I get $5 for that. No. I like choices. Folks, you get the choice of where you will spend eternity. Wonderful. Great choice. Here's your choices. There's a heaven, there's a hell. How do I get to heaven? Or hell? How do I get to hell? Do nothing. Do nothing. You get in by default. I don't want to go there. How do I go to heaven? One way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. Folks, there needs to come a time in your life when you bow your head before the Lord and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I believe that the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from you, Lord. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. Lord Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior. Folks, it is so simple. So simple. That's why it's so easily twisted into a work salvation. Do you know Christ as your Savior? And he spoke these words, and then he believed him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. Truth, truth, truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ loves me. The truth is that I'm a sinner. The truth is that in order to get to heaven, God has to be holy and just. Just, sin has to be punished. Holy, loving, he paid for it himself. And what do? I place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm born again. I'm in the family of God. That is my only hope. Father God, this morning I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the opportunity just to worship you. Lord, I do thank you that you have given us the word of God. Lord, I do trust that if John were sitting in the front pew, Lord, that he would at least say, good job. Maybe not great, but good. So God, help us to understand what you have meant, what John wrote. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to appreciate who you are. God, give us the wisdom to see through deception. Help us day by day to place our hope, our confidence in you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.